We've been a witness to glory days becoming days of challenge and tragedy, as the stories about former NFL greats falling victim to the consequences of head injuries have been mounting up over recent years. That same risk also exists in high school football, as does the same athletic desire to perform at a maximum level. Recently, the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association issued a new rule to lower the risk as well as frequency of head injuries in high school football. Here to explain the importance of this rule and bring to you a greater understanding and appreciation of what concussions are is the director of the concussion program at St. Peter's Sports Medicine Institute. We say good morning to Dr. Arlene Goodman. Good morning, Dr. Goodman.
Morning.
stpetersuh.com on the web. Learn more about St. Peter's Sports Medicine Institute. And I guess the best place to start, Doctor, what is this new rule calling for football now?
So the new rule is calling that once preseason is over, that they will limit weekly football contact to a total of 90 minutes.
I was looking at some of the reactions initially by the coaches, and maybe in light of some of the things I alluded to in the introduction with the pro sports and greats from Tony Dorsett to veterans like Alex Karras and the sad medical fates that they've finally met up with, seems like there's not too much objection by the majority of the coaches in the state about this idea.
Yeah, that's true. But as you know, one coach put it is that, you know, once the season's begun, they do not do much full contact to the ground once the season begins. So unfortunately, this ruling does not impact the preseason.
But then they counter that by saying that they need a certain level of full contact practice and preseason activity for the athlete to develop not just the offensive skills, but the personal defensive skills to protect themselves, to develop proper form, I guess would be the term.
Yes, I'm not disagreeing that they need time in which to improve their form. I don't know if some of it could be done with more so thud contact than true, you know, absolute full contact to the ground. It's just if the intention of this rule is to decrease the number of concussions, then I don't think this rule is going to do that.
Is there, by your knowledge, much like in the NFL, they say if a coach or a trainer has doubts, the player sits. Is there a similar attitude or even a rule within Scholastic Sports in New Jersey saying that if coach sees, because a concussion doesn't always mean unconsciousness, I think it's only about 10% of the time where that happens, do you think the coaches are fully trained enough to be aware of the superficial signs to know when to sit a player down?
I think, yeah, the coaches go through yearly training to identify the signs and symptoms of concussion. So, you know, if you go with that, you know, thought process of when in doubt, sit them out, then, yeah, and they're well-trained. Unfortunately, with concussions, is symptoms don't always occur immediately, that they can be delayed in onset.
Talking with Dr.
Some will be, you know, missed initially.
Talking with Dr. Arlene Goodman, director of the concussion program at St. Peter's Sports Medicine Institute, stpetersuh.com on the web. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And also, Doctor, we've heard stories, too, where a student-athlete basically will lie about how they feel because they too often, unfortunately, do not want to sit down.
Yes, that is correct. And even, you know, recent studies have shown that almost 50% of kids will hide the fact that they have a concussion.
Now, as far as concussions, you mentioned how the signs can be delayed. As contact sports take place, injuries take place repeatedly, if there is a case where an athlete has multiple concussions, does that impact as far as recovery time, lasting effects? How does a multiple impact wind up affecting an athlete?
So if you sustain, you know, multiple concussions, it takes longer to recover each time, and you're more likely to experience prolonged post-concussion symptoms or cognitive impairments such as attention, memory, executive functioning, and information processing deficits. If you sustain a concussion before you've healed from the first concussion, in adolescence, there's a concern for what's called second impact syndrome, where the brain can actually swell and herniate and the individual can die. So that's why, you know, we always want to make sure that they're 100% healed before we put them back into contact.
And as I mentioned, too, flat-out unconsciousness is the minority of the cases. When you look at some of the symptoms of a concussion, can they be confused for something else?
Yes, a loss of consciousness only occurs in 10%. You know, the other signs of headache, you know, dizziness, nausea, vomiting, vision changes, balance problems. You know, I've definitely had it where some people have confused the signs and symptoms with dehydration. You know, again, if an athlete is showing those signs, even if it is a concern for dehydration, they should be sat out anyways, and it'll be clear by the next day whether it's really dehydration once you've rehydrated them, if they're still getting symptoms.
I make it a habit when I see stories like this in some of the online news outlets to look at the comments section, because you get a dissection of how some people magnify the risks as opposed to taking preventative actions. And it's scary to think and to read how many either adults who used to play high school football or parents of high school football players today have the, this is all much ado about nothing. Just walk it off and get back in the game. Toughen up. It's part of the game. How dangerous is that attitude?
Well, one, it can be life-threatening. Two is, you know, it can have a lot of long-lasting issues. And the reality is, you know, the kids are going to make their money with their brain, for the majority of them, not with their sport athletic skills. So, you know, you only get one brain, and we need to protect that brain.
And just wrap things up, as you said, this is not certainly a cure-all. It's a step in prevention. But in a perfect world, if you had autonomy over high school sports in New Jersey, what would be one or two key policies you'd want to see put into place?
Yeah. One is, like I said, I think this is a good first step of limiting the full contact to 90 minutes. What I would like to see is that the time of contact within preseason would be limited, in particular, no two-a-days with contact, because of, you know, issues concerning subconcussive events that really they should not be doing, hitting two-a-days.
And learn more about this issue as well as the work of St. Peter's Sports Medicine Institute. You can learn about their services at stpetersuh.com. We've been joined by their director of the concussion program, Dr. Arlene Goodman. Dr. Goodman, thanks for bringing this to our attention, how a step in the right direction is not getting to the destination, but it is going nevertheless in the right direction. And thanks for being here this morning.
All right. Thank you very much.